There's no better place to be on Easter Sunday than in church celebrating the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Why? Because he lives, right? He lives. There's an old hymn that goes, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. And it's just a beautiful story of Easter. And I want to kind of share that story with you going kind of back. Not the actual story of the crucifixion. I think we all know that. And we'll end with that. But the story of how it all came about. How it all happened. The situation that occurred. The circumstances and humanity that caused this to be needed. And that kind of understanding. So Easter is the most emotional holiday for me. I love Christmas. Christmas is kind of the joyous part, right? The joyous holiday, family and joy. And why? Because God the Father sent the greatest gift, right, of all to mankind. And that's a more of a joyous occasion for me. I just love Christmas. But Easter is more of a emotional for me in the sense because during Easter, it represents that Jesus paid it all, right? He paid everything, our debt. He paid our ransom, our sins. He paid it. He paid it all. And it's emotional because Jesus, the Bible tells us, could have called 10,000 angels, could have, maybe we'll figure out another route for humans, for mankind to get saved, but Jesus chose to die. Amen? It's so important that we remember that he chose to die for you and me to have hope. And it's an emotional holiday for me because it's personal. He knows us. He loves us. And each and every one of us, he counts us as his child. And that is an amazing, amazing thing. So it's more emotional in that sense because it's more personal in the sense that he died for me. He died for you. And he died so that we could live. That's some kind of love, right? That's an amazing love. For God, the Bible says, everybody knows John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And whoever believes in his name and his salvation will never perish, right? That's all we need. You know, I always like to refer back to what Jesus said. You know, in this life, don't rejoice that the demons are subject to you or that this is happening and signs and wonders happen around you. And don't rejoice in that. Rather, rejoice in the fact that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That simplifies what's important and what's not important. What is important is for us to be saved. And that our names are written. And for us to share that message, because Jesus said, go out, right, and share the gospel. And for us to share that message that we need Jesus to be our covering for our sins. To share that to your relatives, to your friends, to your co-workers. And to live by that. And the beautiful thing about this story is you don't have to be perfect to be righteous. You just have to believe in the perfect one. To cleanse your righteousness. And it's beautiful because it takes all the pressure. You know, you don't have to be a perfect church member. That being said, don't purposely go and mess up over and over and over, right? Some people take that and then they run with it, right? I don't have to be perfect. No, that's not the way it works. But the truth is, we all are in need of a Savior, and Easter represents that. Easter represents that we're all in need of a Savior. And because he loved us, he sent his Son. And so I want to talk about on this Easter Sunday, the title of this sermon is The Perfect Sacrifice. Jesus is, and I make sure to use the word is, because it's not a was. Jesus is the perfect sacrifice. Not was. He is and continues to be and has always been the perfect sacrifice. You know, it's hard for us to think about the timing of things because we live every day on time, right? Do you have an alarm? How many of you have an alarm that wakes you up in the morning? I need one really bad. We operate on time here. So it's hard for us to grasp that God doesn't operate on time. He doesn't care. He doesn't need to care about time. He is time, right? The Bible says one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as of one day. Wrap your mind around that. But it's true. You may not understand it, but it's true. And this story of Easter and this story of God's love of sending His Son, it's for everybody, regardless of time. That's amazing. God's smart. He's pretty smart. It doesn't matter about time. He was the perfect sacrifice. He is the perfect sacrifice. So my main point today is this. Because Jesus was perfectly righteous and was sacrificed as unrighteous, He was and is. I misprinted it there. I first put was and I changed it to is and I forgot to change it there. He is the perfect sacrifice. So you're going to have to scratch that out on your little notes there on the main point and put He is the perfect sacrifice. So the story of Easter, it all begins in the book of Genesis, right? You know what happened in the book of Genesis? Adam and Eve, they sinned against God. And that was the day that you and I, that mankind, humanity, men and women, that was the day that we all needed salvation because God's laws are true and they never change. You know, God's laws, they don't change based on how you feel one day, right? God's laws never change. And I want to start there in Romans chapter 6, verse 23 in your Bibles. God's laws are true and they never change. That's your first underline, right? God's law, they're true and they never change. In Romans chapter 6, verse 23, it says this. Read it with me. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. This is truth. It never changes. It is what it is. The wages of sin is death. Repeat that one more time with me. The wages of sin is death. God and sin, they don't mix, ever. Well, that puts us in a pretty bad spot. Because we're all sinners, the Bible says. So those things kind of puts us in a bad spot. Because remember when you were 2 years old and you lied that you ate the cookie and you had all the cookie crumbs on your, and you told your mom and your dad, I didn't have any chocolate or cookie, and you have it all over you. And you sinned, right? You lied. That's a sin. Ever since then, you were doomed. You were doomed. So it all started back then, and God's laws never changed. So this is a truth that is non-negotiable. You can't change it. So the only way for humanity to live with God eternally in His presence was to stand righteous before Him, sinless before Him. Well, that puts us all in jeopardy, doesn't it? Every single one of us in this room are not righteous enough to stand before God. You're not, right? The Bible even says in the Old Testament that your righteousness is as what? Filthy rags. You know, if you want to get a more descriptive, right? That's no matter how good you think, you know, that's why the world says, I was a good person. I don't necessarily serve Jesus, but I was a good person. I don't deserve to go to hell. That is not how it works. God's law is clear. We've all sinned, and wages of sin is eternal death. So we need some help, don't we? Mankind needed some help. God was... Turn to Philippians chapter 3, verse 9. Philippians chapter 3, verse 9. So the only way, in your notes it says there, so the only way for humanity to live eternally in the presence of God was to stand, your underline there is righteous before God. Righteous before God. Philippians chapter 3, verse 9 says this. And to be found in him, not having my own righteousness. Okay, so when you are in Christ, when you are in God's family, when you are in him, you cannot bring your own righteousness to the table. Amen? You can't, oh, I was good enough. Oh, I'm not that bad. I'm not as bad as that person. They're horrible. That's not the way it works. Our righteousness is not accepted into God's presence. Period. Because sin and God don't mix. Because the wages of sin is eternal death. So it says there, and be found in Jesus, not having our own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. The righteousness which is of God by faith. So our own righteousness won't work, but the righteousness which is of God will work. So we need to find that. And humanity needed to find that way to stand before God for eternity in heaven, in not our own righteousness, but in God's righteousness. And that's what Easter is all about. The replacing of your sins and your unrighteousness with his perfection and his righteousness. Isn't that awesome? That's why it's an emotional holiday for me. How does that happen? How do I, sinner and all, get to stand one day in the presence of Almighty God for eternity and eternity and being counted completely righteous and right standing? What an honor. What an honor that we get to be that. What an honor and a privilege to be counted as part of God's righteous family. Amen? That is an honor. And so, in Hebrews 9, well, here's the answer. In Hebrews 9, 22, let's turn there. In Hebrews verse 9, 22, there's also something that's in Scripture that is God's law or God's divine truth. And it's this in Hebrews 9:22. And almost all things are done by the law purged with blood. You know that old law of Moses? It was all dealt with. All the stuff was about blood, a lot of sacrifices. Because without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. I want to read that again. And almost all things are by law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. No remission of sin. There must be a shedding of blood to cover your sins and my sins. That I didn't say that. It's in God's word. And that is why during the Old Testament, before Jesus' time, God instructed his people to offer animal sacrifices. That set the way to emphasize that sin had to be dealt with. When the children of Israel had to sacrifice that innocent lamb and had to sacrifice the animals for their sins, it made them understand that there's consequences to sin, and it's death. Amen? Something had to die. Because it's not my law or your law. It's God's law. We read it. The wages of sin is death. Something had to die because of our sins. And that is God's divine law, God's divine word. So now you see how in the Old Testament, that's how sin was dealt with. Now, was it enough? The answer is no. The animal, the lamb that was sacrificed, and that was not enough for that person to stand before God innocent. Right? It was all symbolic in the sense that something had to happen for them to understand. Because they didn't yet have the benefit of understanding Jesus Christ. See, we can see it all now. We're very fortunate, very privileged that we as Christians today, we can see it all, right? We don't have to go sacrifice a lamb for our sins. Because we're in a time period where Jesus has already done that. But they were not. They didn't understand. This was the way for them to understand. There had to be death for their sins. The animal sacrifice was not enough, but it was obedience to God. At some point in the future, the perfect and final sacrifice would come to wash away all sins. You know, when Jesus came, all sins were washed away. The past, all the Old Testament people that had sinned and repented under the law of Moses, all when Jesus died and he rose again, all of their sins were washed away. Not in the blood of the lamb, like the physical lamb, animal, but in the blood of the perfect lamb, which was Jesus Christ. Think about that. Time didn't matter. Whether you were an Old Testament person during Jesus' time or now us, time did not matter. The resurrection of Jesus Christ washed all of our sins with his blood. All of them. Isn't God smart? He knows what he's doing. He's an amazing God. And he knows what he's doing. That's what Easter is. So we got all the background. That's what the purpose was. It wasn't just for you and me, those after Jesus. It was for all of mankind throughout the generations. For their sins to be washed in the blood of the Lamb. So both Old Testament sins and New Testament sins were washed away. All because for God so loved the world. That's why. And God provided the perfect sacrifice so that every man had an opportunity to be righteous before God. Animal sacrifices have ended because Jesus Christ was the ultimate and perfect sacrifice. That's it. Jesus Christ is the perfect sacrifice. Why was Jesus the perfect sacrifice? Well, the Bible tells us three main things that I want to go to John chapter 1, verse 14. John chapter 1, verse 14. Why was Jesus the perfect sacrifice? Why did Jesus meet all the conditions to wash, to cover your sins and to die for your sins? See, in order to replace our sins and our unrighteousness, there had to be something to die. Because there is no, without death, there's no remission of sin, right? Without the sacrifice. But it had to be something innocent, something blameless, something righteous. And it says here in John chapter 1, verse 14, and the Word was made flesh. You know what the Word is? It's in capital letters, right? It's got a big W, right? It's got a big W because the Word is God. The Word of God. It's who he is. It's his character. It's who he is. So the Word, God himself, became flesh and dwelt among us. And beheld his glory, and glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So do you know that Jesus Christ was God, was the Word, and he became flesh? So why was Jesus a perfect sacrifice? First of all, he's one of us. God with us. Right? He was one of us. He bled like you, like we bleed. He hurt like we hurt. He even didn't want to die like we don't want to die. He said, Lord, if this cup can pass, let it pass. But nevertheless, I'm here to save mankind and I'm willing to do it. Your will be done. So he was one of us. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21, the Word of God also says, For even hereunto we were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that he should follow his steps, who did no sin. So Jesus did not sin. He was sinless. Amen? He was sinless. Because the Bible says that he was without sin. Neither was guile found in his mouth. Who when he was reviled, reviled not again. He suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body. He bare our sins in his own body on the tree, on the cross, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, but whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were a sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. Wow, that's a beautiful thing. That's the Easter story right there. Let's read verse 24 again. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body. All of your sins were paid for on the cross, on his body. He was the perfect, sinless Lamb of God. And all of our sins were upon him. So much so that we read that scripture where Jesus says, where are you, God? Your presence, it's gone. God the Father could no longer even look on his son because of you. It's personal, right? Because of you and me, because of our sins, our unrighteousness. God couldn't look at him anymore because at that moment, our sins were all, and God and sin don't mix, right? So it was hard for God to see that. He couldn't look at it. He couldn't be there. And Jesus himself said, where are you, Lord? Who is his own self bare our sins in his body, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. So he was the perfect sacrifice. Number one, he's one of us. Number two, he was sinless. And number three, he was divine. In Colossians, turn to Colossians chapter 2, verse 9. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead body. Right? It's a sophisticated way to say that in Jesus Christ was the fullness of God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. He was the perfect sacrifice because he was one of us, he was sinless, and he was God. And he bore it all on the cross. I'm going to ask Michelle to come at this time. You know, Easter is that time when we like to get together with family. And also when we come to church, a time to reflect. A time to reflect. Look inside our own hearts. Look inside our own lives. And it's a time to do a, you know, like you have to take your car every once in a while to get oil changes and maintenance. You know, every once in a while in our lives, we got to look and see which way we're going. See what direction our lives are headed, our attitudes, our mindsets. And I want to end this Easter service with doing that. We've gone through the history, right? The Old Testament, the blood sacrifices, and what Jesus did and how he accomplished it all. And he was perfect sacrifice and We went through it all, but now it comes to a time and a moment. Like, what's your reaction to that? What is our reaction to that wonderful, beautiful love story that God has given us? The opportunity to live in Him. What is our reaction to that? And I want to challenge you in closing today that you don't just leave this place the way you came in, but that you leave this place with a appreciation and a commitment and a desire to please God. Amen? He did some amazing things in mankind, in the history of the world. To get to this point, what is our response to that love and to that plan? And I want to challenge you today, don't come in, don't leave this place the way you came in. Leave with an expectation and a passion and a commitment to live for God like you never lived for Him before. Maybe you're not as consistent with your church attendance, or maybe you haven't been consistent with this or that, or you know what? Today is the day. Today is the day to respond to this amazing love and say to God, you know what? I need a change. Sure, I believe in You and I believe I'm saved, but it shouldn't just stop there. There should be a passion for you to live for Him with all you have. And that's my challenge for you today on this Easter Sunday. And I want to ask you to close your eyes and bow your head. And I'm just going to challenge you this morning. How are you going to respond to this Easter story? Now I'm going to ask you to come to the altar if this is you. If you are that person that have just been going through the motions, but you know you've been putting God second, third, and not first where He desires. And on this Easter Sunday, it's the time. It's the time to reset things. Because He did pay it all on the cross. He did rise on the third day that we could have eternal life. That our righteousness would be covered by His holy righteousness. It is that day that we celebrate, that what seems dead comes to life. And it's time to come to life as a church body, as a Christian. It's time to come to life and put Jesus Christ first where He belongs. First and no other place. And if that's you this morning, where you've had Him second, third, and fourth, today is the day. By coming to the altar, you're saying, I'm putting Him first. I'm putting Him first because He put me first. I'm putting Him first because if it was just me, He would have died just for me. I'm putting Him first because He's worthy. I'm putting Him first because I love Him. Love. On the count of three, I'm going to ask Michelle to play a song. And if that's you, you're ready to shuffle the deck. You're ready to put Him first. It's time, this Easter Sunday, to move and to act and to go outside this door with a joy and a peace that He's first. 1, 2, 3. If that's you, come as Michelle plays. And we're just going to agree together. Thank you, Jesus.